Well, Stacey McCarthy, thank you so much for taking a break and all your amazing yoga poses so we can sit and chat for a little bit on this summit.
Thank you, Michael. It's so good to be here.
Well, let me go through who you are for the audience. Yeah, you are an award-winning health and fitness leader. You accomplished businesswoman, captivating speaker, respected educator. You're an associate professor in the kinesiology, health and nutrition department, where you co-created the yoga studies certification program. And for your contribution to the field of health and wellness as a seasoned mindful movement educator and integrative wellness thought leader, Stace is honored as the 2021 IDEA World Fitness Instructor of the Year. You know, world fitness instructor, not just in your town, not just in the United States, all over the world. a prestigious award recognizing superior instructional abilities and positive influence within the global health and fitness industry. Stacey is recognized for health and wellness coaching, yoga and mindful practices, positive psychology interventions, culinary whole food, plant-based medicine, and the treatment of various chronic disease and conditions. How cool to get to be in your studio today.
Oh, thank you. Wow, that's a long intro. But thank you. You know why it's long? And you know this, Michael, the longer you've been on planet Earth, the longer your bio becomes because you have more to contribute.
Is that the truth? That you kind of look back at the bio? Yeah, I did that. That's right. I forgot about that. So yoga is such a powerful tool. And do you mind kind of letting the audience know why you fell in love with it? You know, why this became your direction? I mean, you are a fitness expert, so you've kind of guided a lot of gyms and kind of headed a lot of gyms. So why yoga of everything that you've done?
It's been a beautiful journey. So I started right out of college with a degree in exercise physiology. I loved fitness. I taught all the group classes. I did all the latest trends and I loved it, but it was really breaking down my body quite a bit. I was having constant injuries and a lot of overuse type of things. And one day I happened to see someone coming out of a yoga studio. This is almost 30 years ago. I'm aging myself. But I saw someone coming out of a yoga studio and they just had this beautiful inner peace about them. And yet at the same time, they were kind of, you know, looked like they were very balanced in the body. And they just had this beautiful essence. And so I met the teacher and it just was a great connection. And what really drew me to yoga and not so much fitness was the difference between, as I studied with yoga and I studied with a master in India, I studied with some of the best here over many, many decades. What switched it for me is that yoga is a system of health. It is a science of health, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Exercise, I love exercise. I think exercise is wonderful, but exercise is really different, fitness, exercise from health. And sometimes people confuse these two things. So fitness is the ability to perform some sort of maybe athletic activity or an exercise. That's fitness. You can do this exercise, you can perform an athletic activity. Whereas health is really, it's a state where all the systems of the body, your nervous, circulatory, digestive, lymphatic, hormonal, all of those, et cetera, are working optimally. And so yoga is a practice of working with the whole person, of all the systems, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. And it can enhance someone's athletic ability, someone's exercise, but it also is a complete system of health standing on its own. And so in our busy world today, sometimes it's hard to do everything at once. Yoga is this practice that is really looking at the whole person. So that was the one of the things that I felt just intuitively and in my body the longer I practiced. Certainly not at the beginning. At the beginning, I'm like, oh my gosh, how is this so hard? How am I so tight? I'm in the fitness industry. How is this so imbalanced? but with practice, with time, of kind of deconstructing a lot of the things I knew and rebuilding them through the practice of yoga, my body became a little more complete. And so my body felt more balanced, but more importantly, my mental and emotional state became much more balanced. There was an awakened calmness. And I just felt a deeper connection to something bigger than myself, quite honestly, that kept me coming back again and again. So that really took me towards yoga. And when I started, I was really looking at how can I merge the gap between fitness and yoga? How do I get people on the mat because they want the exercise component of it, but how do I take them a little bit deeper so they keep coming back again and again and they feel that deeper connection with themselves? So that's really what got me so excited about the practice and the science of yoga.
And you're truly a testament as to the benefit of yoga. I mean, I had the blessing of taking a few morning classes with you. And I realized, you know, how graceful and beautifully you did it and with such ease, and how lack of grace and how lack of ease I did it on my side. So it's really fascinating with somebody that has been in sports and, you know, done, you know, martial arts and all these different things. Yeah, you know, even though you have that background, that centeredness and that connection between your spirit, your mind, and then also how it expresses itself with your movement, you know, with your body through yoga.
Yeah. Well, first of all, everybody here should know that Michael is someone who walks his talk. We're part of a group called the Holistic Leadership Council, and he was one of the people who got up, and it was early, early, early in the morning, and would come to my yoga class every morning, walking his talk. And I didn't start off that way. You know, the reason that the poses maybe come a little more easily for me now is because I've had a regular practice for decades, decades, and decades. And so the one thing that I'd like to clarify is that a lot of people, the reason they don't do yoga is because they think yoga is about touching your toes. And they're like, I'm too stiff to do yoga, whatever excuse it is, but yoga is about touching your soul. So the true practice of yoga is the ability to create a stillness within, no matter what's happening on the outside. So yoga, the word asana, which is what we do in the poses, asana is a yoga pose. That word, actually translated from the Sanskrit language of yoga, means to sit. Can you sit still with yourself without your mind just jumping around like a monkey from tree to tree? So a regular practice is there to generate health. It's there to help us. We put ourselves in these weird positions. People are like, oh, it's like a pretzel, it's so weird. We keep challenging ourselves to test the tensile strength of the mind. Can we breathe steadily? Can we stay focused on our breath while we're in a position of uncomfortable? So on the other side of the discomfort of the yoga pose is freedom. And if you've ever practiced yoga, you probably know this. You're like, really? You're kind of uncomfortable. You're breathing, trying to focus. But then when you come out of it, there's this sense of freedom, of more openness. And over time, with a regular practice, that freedom accumulates. So you, each time you practice, you're creating more freedom in the body and the mind. And so it doesn't matter if you can touch your toes, how stiff you are, where you begin. Our ego will tell us we're not good enough, but you have to, I always tell in my classes, the ego is not your amigo in yoga. The ego is going to really have you comparing and judging and criticizing probably yourself. And if you can let that go and just be present with your breath and just do the best you can, you will continue to come back again and again.
Mm-hmm. And that is what I love. You know, it's not about physical prowess. It's not about showing off. It's about being able to be centered. And also, and you're absolutely right, you do have to let go of your ego. I had to do that a lot. And by letting go of the ego and just focusing on what is important, just the simple things like your breath. Yeah, and because the breath kind of brings you back to that center each time as you're doing these kind of odd, you know, odd poses, but you know, they're very specific to open up flow of energy in both physical and mental and emotionally. So it's not just about, like you're saying, it's not just about being flexible and being able to hold something. It's about the spiritual journey and the mental emotional journey as you are using the body a vehicle for that.
That's right. It helps us to really become conscious of kind of our conditioned existence, those habits that we have over and over again that maybe aren't serving us. So the postures themselves are a beautiful practice of bringing light into the dark places of ourselves, whether that's in the body, maybe you've ignored a shoulder and it's getting really cranky. Yoga brings some light to there and says, hey, did you notice that your arm's not lifting like it used to? It brings some light of awareness there into those shadow places in the body and in the mind. And this is one of the most profound parts of a yoga practice, to be able to notice that, the self-discovery, the creation of your own inner body wisdom is really a very profound part of the practice.
Yeah, and that awareness, you know, because all of us, we deal with belief systems, we deal with traumas, and we tend to, because they're uncomfortable, we store them away in different areas of the body, and wherever they're stored, we are then developing a little bit of a dysfunction within that area. And we are then starting to operate in life, kind of maybe we think we are operating fully, but in reality, we're operating at 30% of our full being. So by using, I mean, what I noticed with yoga is that it then brings, like you're saying, it brings to light those areas where we have stored emotions, stored belief systems, stored traumas, you know, stored, you know, protection, you know, because we feel threatened by the world, you know, so then we are protected and we close ourselves in. By using the tools of yoga, we're then opening up so we can then, you know, live fully. And instead of thinking we're 100% while we're in reality at 30%, we get to experience what a true 100% is.
Yes, yes. Without judgment and without competitiveness and comparison.
Yeah, exactly. So what can people that are starting on the journey, let's say they're new to yoga and they're thinking, well, this sounds like something that I could really benefit me. What can you tell them to, you know, what kind of process will look like? I mean, are you going to feel a difference in 2 months? Are you going to feel a difference in a year? What kind of benefits are you going to experience so that they can have that as a carrot and understand the process as well?
Yeah, so every body is different and every mind is different. So people come to the practice with different physical challenges, different mental or emotional challenges. So it can look a little bit different for everyone, but a consistent practice, if you are consistent, you're practicing at least twice a week, and then maybe supplementing in something shorter in between, over a period of time. Again, this is a practice. It's not a goal that you're like, okay, I did yoga and now I'm perfect. Everything's perfect. I no longer have the crazy thoughts and my body is perfectly healed. It is a practice and we're always rediscovering. So it takes a commitment to want to feel this good. And so give yourself a little bit of time, make it very, very consistent, because not only will it start to first work with your body, but then secondly, it's going to really, really start to work with your overall lifestyle. It can be trickled down into noticing what you eat, that, oh, I noticed I didn't really eat great yesterday. It was maybe too much junk food. And now today, when I did my yoga practice, I felt stiffer. I felt more tired. You start to notice these things at a deeper level. And then maybe you notice that you were really stressed out and your emotions were all over. You notice it on your yoga mat. It is a place for a seat of awareness to notice what's going on in your daily life, so that, again, it's shining that light on it you can then make the appropriate changes of what needs to happen. Maybe you just, you were eating really well and you notice, oh, I'm a little more open today, or I'm a little stronger today, or I have a little more energy today. So all of these things, it starts to work together for the whole person. And that's really the big carrot, is that it has this wonderful trickle effect into your entire lifestyle, where you begin to come consciously to your habits of your movement, your consumption, your thoughts, and it's addressing the wholeness of your health, mind, body, and spirit. And this is the biggest carrot that yoga has, is that it, you're looking at yourself as a complete self, as a whole self.
And I'd like to, you know, something that you talk a lot about, and I'd like to kind of highlight that a little bit and then get back to some practical aspects of the yoga. You talk a lot about the big three, you know, and I know you baked that in right now, you know, in your description. Can you just kind of give a little highlight? You know, obviously yoga is such a central component, you know, movement central component. But if you would give kind of a broad highlight as to what the big three are, so that you and individuals not just focusing on one component, to recognize it's a wholeness aspect that you need to look at.
So what I teach a lot of is what I call mastering the big three. And while we could break down everyone's habits, both good and bad, into, gosh, a lot of different endless categories, I like to simplify it into three areas that really encompass our whole lives, our lifestyle. And that's how you move, how you eat, and how you think. And so these three areas, when we really come to them, they create the framework of our lifestyles as a whole. And so this is the practice. This is why I had talked the difference between exercise and health. In movement, we have a choice of many different movements. The beautiful part of a practice that is a mind-body practice, yoga, tai chi, qigong, things that are mind-body, working with your mind and body together. These are practices that, again, are helping you with the mental fluctuations that we all have, and it's also helping to heal the body from the inside out. So when it comes to movement, I am a very big advocate of mindful movement, of being very mindful of how we move. And then the eating, what we put in, what we consume, again, both eating and thoughts, this again is going to represent our overall lifestyle and how we feel. So the big three, I just put them into these bigger chunks. And then within those, I break it down into small rituals, conscious intentions that we do on a regular basis, daily basis, so that it becomes who we are. And it helps change our identity from someone who maybe doesn't do them to someone who does. So for example, on all of these, when you change your identity, and you're a healthy person, this is how your rituals and your habits become easier. It's like the difference if you're a smoker and you're trying to quit and someone offers you a cigarette. This is probably a terrible example for regenerative medicine, but it does make sense. And someone offers you a cigarette and you say, oh, I'm trying to quit smoking, then your brain is telling you you're still a smoker, you're just trying to quit. But if someone offers you that same cigarette and you say, I don't smoke, your brain tells you your identity is you're not a smoker. And so it's the same thing as we switch our habits consciously, that if someone offers you that junk food and you just say, I don't eat that, rather than saying something, well, I'm trying to lose weight or I'm trying to eat healthy, you just say, no, thank you, I don't eat it. Your identity is you are a healthy person and you don't eat that, versus I'm trying to XYZ, not eat healthier, lose weight, because then your identity is still stuck in that you're not a healthy person.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, because we become who we identify with. So if we identify with, you know, I'm on this journey, which is great, you know, I'm trying to, but if we identify with, I am a healthy person, what you're doing then is that you're it's like a command to the universe, and you draw in practices, diet, thought patterns that reflects and resonate with your identity. which is I am a healthy person. And I love that. I really love that. So for a person that's wanting to start, I mean, we have, you know, people, they work in an office, they're business people, they have, you know, a few moments here and there, you know, things that they can do where they can kind of break away and do maybe some poses that is easy to do. And also, if you don't mind, kind of letting people know what are the benefits and what is that doing to you as you're doing these poses. So what are some of the ones that you really love that would be practical and good to do?
Okay, so in the example of you're at an office or you just don't have a lot of time, I would say first thing in the morning, when you do have time, I can teach you just like something that's very simple. It's like 5 minutes, but here's the importance of it. One, it's going to move your spine in each direction so that you're waking up your spine, because your spine is going to be the most important part. If you only have one thing to work the spine, so that your cervical, your thoracic, your lumbar spine, all feel balanced and mobile. And so working the spine. And the other thing that happens is from an energy standpoint, and without going too deep into the energy, our main energy channel, the central energy channel within the body, runs within the spinal cord. So we're running right up through the spinal cord, your main energy channel. And when we move the spine effectively, we're waking up your energy. We're waking up your prana, your life force, your chi, your energy channel. So if you don't have much time in your day, doing just this quick warm-up that we can do right now would be a great start. And then if you don't have time in the morning, or you didn't make time in the morning, at lunch, do it at lunch. Try not to wait till all the way till the end of day. Try to get it in early as much as you can, or do it 3 times a day if you'd like, just to increase the energy. With this, I also use the breath. Consistent breath with the mouth closed and the inhales and exhales through the nose also are creating more energy, more clarity and vitality for your mind. So we're not just working the body, but we're working the connection of the body-mind connection. So just these simple movements, connect it with your breath, connect it with opening up the central energy channel, and moving your spine can be super powerful in your busy day, and it won't take a lot of time. So if you're up for it and you're watching right now, why don't you stand up with me? If you're in a place you can stand up, and we'll take a few minutes to move your breath and move your body a little bit. All right, shall we do it?
I love it.
Yes. Let's do it. Okay, very good. All right, so here we go. I'm in my yoga studio. I am in San Diego. It's very warm today, so I'm in shorts. You can do this barefoot, you can do it in with your shoes on, it doesn't really matter. But the first thing I'm gonna do is just align your body. So one thing that's really important to do every day is to start your day with great posture. You may not even notice that you stand a little slumped, or you stand to one side. You may not even notice that. So a simple thing of aligning our posture each day goes a long way. So we'll align your posture for maximum energy, for great energy flow, but also so that everything's aligned. And then we'll do some movement, and then we'll just come back to center. And at the end, just coming back to center and taking a moment to just feel a connection with yourself, to feel powerful, to feel grounded, that you took a moment and feel really good about it. All right, so as you stand, I want you to bring your feet hips width distance apart and parallel. Sometimes we don't even realize we stand like this. So can you bring your feet straight ahead and parallel? Start to lift up the lower belly and release down the tailbone. Sometimes we don't realize we stand like this or we stand like this. So you're lifting the lower belly as you release down the tailbone. This brings you neutral into the pelvis. Stack your shoulders over the hips, your outer arms in line with the side waist. Turn open your palms and just let your fingers spread. You're stacking the joints, ankles, knees, hips, shoulders, ears, and crown of the head. So all the joints are stacked. And now begin to press down the feet firmly until the energy draws up and your kneecaps lift, the front of the thighs firm so the quadriceps engage. Continue the lift up through your lower belly. Your rib cage hugs in, but the collarbones spread and the shoulders release back and down. So your bones are aligned, your muscles are stable, and the musculoskeletal system has balance and symmetry. And this checkpoint each day goes a long way so that when you move through the day, you may notice that you're slumping and slouching. You may notice that you're standing too much to one side, and you bring yourself back to center. And now I'd like you to take an inhale through the nose with your mouth closed and exhale through the nose with the mouth closed. Let's do that again. Inhale through the nose, the mouth is closed. Exhale through the nose with the mouth closed. We're going to keep this same breath. It's about a 5 count in, a 5 count out, and we're going to add movement to it. Inhale, reach your arms up towards the ceiling. Exhale, bend the knees, hinge from your hips, bring your hands to the shins. Inhale, halfway lift as you lengthen the spine, and then exhale, fold back in. Inhale, press down the feet, lead with your heart as you reach up to the ceiling, touch the palms and maybe gaze up, and then exhale, bring your arms by your side. So we're taking the hamstrings out of it and we're working with your low back. Inhale, reach up. Exhale, hinge from the hips. So I'm bending the knees. Hands can come to the shins, maybe to the ground. Inhale, it's a halfway lift. See, as I extend the spine, exhale, fold it back in. Inhale, lead with the heart as you reach back up. Maybe the palms touch. And then exhale, bring your arms by your side. So you can do this as many times as you'd like. You're warming up the low back with your knees bent, just warming up hips and low back. I took it out of the hamstrings. Lateral bending. Inhale, reach up. You're still moving with the breath. Exhale, your left hand takes the right wrist. Inhale, reach up high, and then exhale, lean to your left side. This is a lateral bend, moving the spine sideways. Inhale, come back up to center. Let's do that again. Exhale to the left side, your hips move to the right. And inhale, come back to center. One more time. Exhale to the left, your hips move to the right. Inhale, back to center. Exhale, bring your arms back down by your side. Inhale, let your heart lift as you reach up. Your right hand takes the left wrist. Inhale, you're extending up. And then exhale to the right side, let your hips move to the left. Inhale, come back to center. Let's do that again. Exhale to the right, the hips move to the left. Inhale, up to center one last time. Exhale to the right, hips move to the left. Inhale, back to center. Exhale, bring your arms by your side. So we've done flexion and extension with the spine. We've done lateral bending with the spine. The last one we're going to do is twisting with the spine. So I'd like you as much as possible to keep your hips level, your pelvic girdle stable, and you're gonna twist from the thoracic spine and the cervical spine. So this is gonna be stable and we'll twist from here. Inhale, reach the arms up. Exhale, bring your right hand forward, reach your left arm back. Inhale, come back to center. Exhale, bring your left hand forward, your right arm back. Again, inhale, as you reach up, you're extending. Exhale, the left arm reaches back, the right arm forward. Inhale, back up to center. Exhale, left hand forward, right arm back. Inhale, reach up to center. This time, bring your palms together. Bring your thumbs down to your heart center. Just bow your head towards your heart. And take 3 full, even breaths. Take this moment to connect to the energy of the heart. The heart holds an energy center. It's called the Anahata Chakra, which is a place of love, compassion, and gratitude. And as you're tuning into the heart, and you're keeping your focus on these higher emotions, you'll be unable to hold the stress, the worry, the tension, the judgment, the embarrassment, disappointment, anger, fear, that can't be held at the same time that you're holding the energy of love, compassion, and gratitude. So each day you have the choice of carrying around the lower thoughts and emotions that contribute and facilitate stress, where you have the choice of connecting to the higher emotions of oneness, gratitude, love, and compassion. It's your choice. Now release your hands and open the eyes back up to center. Very nice. So that was just, again, you can put this together. So if you remember, we warmed up your low back and hips with the forward folding, reaching up and folding forward. We warmed up the sideways through your lateral bending, and then we warmed up the twist. So most of the twist is happening where you need it most, which is the thoracic spine. And then the hips stay fairly stable. They don't move as much in that direction, but the thoracic spine, this is the area that we need to move to open up the posture muscles of the mid-back. Again, awakening and counteracting some of the slumping and the slouching that happens during the day. So just simple, simple movements. And I think I have a bonus for you that has a little 20-minute workout. It'll be a little more challenging, but it's something that you can work with. To work with your breath, and you'll just modify through. And then I have some tips as well on mastering the big three in an ebook that I think I gave to Michael to send to everyone as well at the end.
Wonderful. Well, I thank you so much. I think one of the biggest reasons I really want to make sure I got this interview is so that I could one more time get to do yoga with you.
Thank you. Yeah. And everyone, I mean, gosh, you know, I'll send you that little sample. And if you want to explore yoga more, you have more questions, feel free to reach out to me. You know, there's nothing that brings me more joy than turning more people onto this practice, because I truly believe from my heart that the more people that are practicing yoga, the more they feel a sense of well-being. And because that they're feeling better in their own mind, and they've found this comfort of their own mind, that then when they go out into the world, they're just better people out in the world as well. And we all know we just need more connected people in the world.
Well, thank you so much. I want to make sure that we get, because I felt that this was so important to, so people have this powerful tool, because you can't talk about regenerative medicine without, I believe, something like this, like yoga, Tai Chi, Qigong, you know, creating these rituals that we incorporate every day in order to be able to, to anchor who we are as a person, and anchor goodness, anchor peace, anchor, you know, all these higher vibrations like you're talking about, rather than walking around in fear, anger, guilt, you know, all these negative emotions, you know, because none of those, it doesn't matter how well we eat, it doesn't matter how much we exercise, doesn't matter, you know, how many pills we take, you know, stem cell IVs, you know, it doesn't matter if you don't anchor yourself in these positive emotions.
That's right. That's right. And you know, this practice of yoga is one of the, again, it takes work. It's not a pill you pop. It's not something that is a quick fix, but it is a practice that when you have that sense of well-being that you feel from the practice, it will keep you coming back again and again. Most people quit something because they leave either exhausted or tired, especially exercise programs, or they just don't, you know, they might get that momentary high, but you shouldn't feel that way after something. You should have this beautiful sense of well-being and feel really, really good, an awakened calmness on the inside, a balance of the body. And when you have that, it helps you come back again and again and again. And you realize that eventually it's like brushing your teeth, that you need to do it just like you brush your teeth to keep that sense of well-being, that indestructible sense of well-being.
Yeah, and I feel better already, you know, just doing the exercises, with doing the yoga with you. So talk a little bit about the power and the importance of rituals, because it seems like you're kind of alluding to, you know, like brushing your teeth. I mean, something we do every day. So what is the importance of rituals in our daily life?
Yes. So rituals are really, it's It's an action with intention. So when we have a ritual, we're doing it with an intention. It transforms our unconscious habits into conscious, meaningful rituals. And when we work to bring out our best self with full intention into the day-to-day patterns that, you know, are shaping our lives, then we're transforming who we are from the inside out. So a ritual, so we have a habit. So for example, maybe every morning you wake up and the first thing you do is you grab a coffee. That's a habit. You don't even think about it. A ritual would be something that you're doing with a clear intention, where you wake up and you go, you know, instead of first thing of grabbing my coffee, maybe I'm going to get up, I'm going to move my spine. Everything is very conscious. You do it. And eventually it does become a habit. But to start off with, you were very conscious and you had an intention to do that. And then it becomes over time a habit. Whereas a habit is something they may have just done without even thinking about it. And then you just kept doing it over and over. And the next thing you knew, it's like, oh, this has become my habit. And there was no conscious intention to it. So setting up rituals, the best success that I've seen and when I've worked with people is to have systems for them. I'm a big believer in systems. So for example, if you want to get on your yoga mat every day or you want to get do a mindful movement practice, have it set up in a spot. So for example, this is my work. So I obviously have a spot, but other people in my family, they have their yoga mat in a specific spot that's always staring at them so that they get up and they use it. In the kitchen, have systems set up that are in your kitchen. If you want to wake up every morning and have a fresh juice, have your juicer right there, ready to go. It's looking at you. It's like, make me a juice, or maybe your Vitamix or smoothie maker. It's right there and you have everything ready to go. Or you've got instant hot water for your healing teas. Whatever it is, have it there in a system ready to go so that it supports your ritual. Have patterns before you go to bed of what you put in your mind and what you think of first thing in the morning. These are two powerful areas. So I have specific rituals at the end of the day that I go through, the day reflection. And then in the morning, I have a specific meditation that I do to start my day. I have specific mantras. Mantra translates the Sanskrit word, the language of yoga, to mind vehicles, specific things that we say to direct our mind, to have our mind travel in the direction that we want to go. So setting up these systems is going to be very important to your success and the ease of which you are able to do this. Because if they're not set up and ready to go, it's just too easy to fall into our unconscious habits rather than our conscious intentions that we want.
I love that. Yeah. And yeah, like I can't remember who it was somebody that I interviewed on one of my radio shows, but he had a practice or ritual that he was creating is that every time he walked through a doorway, you know, he was saying, I am blessed. So that way the doorway becomes a trigger, you know, always thinking I'm blessed. And so that way he is identifying with, you know, this is who I am. I am blessed.
And I love that.
So that it becomes so important. And also like you're mentioning, you know, that it's that transition from sleep, you know, to awake and then from awake to asleep. It's kind of where you're in that in-between world where your mind and your brain and your body is so impressionable. So it becomes such a powerful time to then utilize that moment to really program who you are. I mean, if it is, you know, you're wanting, you know, say that I'm successful or I am loved or I, whatever it is, the mantra that an individual would use. Yeah, it becomes such a powerful moment during those transition times because you are so open, you know, for suggestions at that time. And that's why it's so important to not watch violent movies right before you go to bed.
That's exactly right. And you know, your conscious mind has about 40 bits of information per second, whereas the unconscious or the subconscious or superconscious mind has a million times more than that. So when we first wake up in the morning, we still are a little bit in that subconscious state, and this is a great time to program your mind. And I love the example you gave, Michael, about I am blessed, your friend that every time you went under the door. I'll wrap it up with maybe a story that's helpful as we talk about these mantras or these mind vehicles. At the height of COVID in 2020, I was riding my electric bicycle and the front wheel started to wobble. And the next thing I remember, I was in trauma care. The wheel had fallen off. I went over the handlebars face first, 3 days before Christmas, height of COVID. I landed on my face, the whole side of my face, and it was asphalt and tar embedded all the way down to the bone, and I'm in trauma care and it's very busy and they just stitched me up really quick. And then when I came out, my face literally looked like tattoos all over my entire face. And I've had like 9 different types of procedure, tattoo remove, all this stuff to get it out. And it looks pretty good now. But during that time, while my face was, you know, really inflamed, and I kept reflecting on the accident and stuff. I was knocked unconscious. I found myself, I'm usually a pretty happy, optimistic, you know, person, but I found myself walking around and finding the negative out in the world. Like I would walk, I have a beautiful garden here where I live, and I'd walk around, and instead of seeing the beautiful flowers blooming, I would see something dead that needed to be removed. It's like everywhere I looked, it seemed to be a negative. And that's what I was finding rather than the beauty. And what happened is I ended up getting this weird sty on my eye. And then it turned into, I've never had a sty in my life. It turned into this thing called a chalazion, which it got really big. It kind of looked like a giant wart on my eye, like very big. And this was right before I was accepting the award you had talked about, the World Health and Fitness Instructor of the Year Award. And I had this giant thing on my eye, and I'm like, and my award was coming up. And what I realized is that I was seeing the world through angry eyes. There was some sort of deep-seated anger and rage in me from this accident that, it had its repercussions and cascade of things. And so I had some sort of deep-seated rage or anger. And I was seeing the world through these angry eyes. So I found this mantra: I see everything and everyone with abundant joy and unconditional love, including myself, my health, and my healing. And every time I would think something negative, I would say something negative, I'd stop, I'd do that mantra. I see everyone and everything with abundant joy and unconditional love, including myself, my health, and my healing. And guess what? The chalazion, and these things don't go away easy, the sty, it started to dissolve, and it's never come back. They're notorious for coming back. And I had to do that sometimes 50 times a day. That's how many times I was allowing my mind to drop into negativity. And unless we are awake and aware and really noticing things, we don't even notice how many times we say a negative word, we think a negative thought. And literally sometimes 50 or more times a day, I was catching myself with a negative thought and I would say my mantra. And I still do it to this day. In fact, I do that mantra every morning and every evening still, because it was so powerful for me. So these mind vehicles, these are really, really profound ways to bring a little bit more awareness to how we think.
That's a powerful story. That's a really powerful story. And I also wanted to kind of highlight that, you know, after the accident, I mean, you were talking about rituals and sticking to rituals. Did you take a break from your yoga practice?
I didn't. I did not take a break. And here's the other thing that I want to share with you. I've, like all of you probably out there, you know, we've had our trials and tribulations and things that happen. Some of them are physical, some of them are emotional. My yoga practice stays with me no matter what. And I'll give you another example. A few years ago, I had to have knee surgery, and it was so bad, it would lock up. And one day I was leading a retreat, and I got up and my knee locked up. I couldn't even walk. I had to go on my mom's walker and get up on stage and lead this retreat on my mom's walker. And the reality is I always get up, and your practice doesn't always look the same. Your practice changes with what's going on in your life. So after knee surgery, I would have to sit up on 3 or 4 blocks to do a pose that maybe was very simple for me, but I still did it. I didn't quit, I modified, I'd continue on. And so if I can encourage anyone, we have to let go of things are gonna change. Through life, maybe it's just aging. I'm 60 years old now. What I do now does not look exactly like it did 30 years ago. It looks differently, but some things have gotten better and some things aren't as easy. And so you don't quit. Even if all you can do is sit and breathe, do that. If you sit and breathe and you do your mantra work, you're having the right thoughts, that's enough. So you do what you can, you modify what you can, but you keep that ritual going. And that's the powerful part of a ritual, that conscious intention that, okay, I can't walk, I've got to use a walker. What can I do with this? Oh, I got arms that work. I have another leg that works. My spine works. There's other things I can do. And I would do what I can. So this is the beauty of a yoga practice. Anyone, I've worked with people in hospital beds. When after my mom had a stroke, I could work with her doing yoga. Oh, you can wiggle your fingers. Breathe in, spread your fingers wide. Breathe out, clench your fingers in. So this is all yoga. The Instagram gets all the popularity of like the contorted poses, but as I said from the beginning, yoga is about touching your soul, and it is about you having the exploration of yourself, that discovery of who you are at the deepest and most profound level, and finding lasting peace. This is the practice of yoga.
Love it. And it's just like, because we have to eat and we have to poop every day. I mean, we got to bring in good energy and then release the bad. And it's
that's right.
A good thing, and we do that every day. So we need to do that also through rituals, through habits, through, you know, like yoga, you know, by reinforcing that pattern of always bringing good things in, bringing life in, and flushing out the negativity, you know, looking for where tensions are that's inhibiting us from living fully. Because at the end of the day, we're here to have joy, and in order to be able to have true joy, we need to be connected, and we need to remove the resistance and the defense mechanisms that are not serving us well anymore, may have served us at a time, but the ones that we are still holding on to, you know, because it worked at such and such time for such moment, you know, we don't need to anymore. And so it's important then to make sure we develop patterns and practices to move through all of that.
Yeah. And I would also just say with that, to not judge either way, not judging the negative and the positive, but just knowing they're both there. And we have that choice. You always have the choice of which one you'd like to choose. It doesn't mean that, you know, because I do yoga a lot, that I don't get angry, that I don't get fearful. Of course I do. But having the tools to balance that out, that's powerful. So this does not mean that you don't experience full emotions, that there is that negative things aren't going to happen. Things happen. But the tools to help you get through them, that's the powerful part of it, that you get to choose. You find yourself too much in the negativity, come back. Come back to that powerful place. And replace it. There's a beautiful yoga sutra. The yoga sutras are small gems of yoga from Patanjali. And there's one that's in Sanskrit, it's called Pratipaksha Bhavanam, which I absolutely love. And what it means is cancel negative thoughts and replace them with a more powerful optimum thought. So yes, negative thoughts are gonna happen, but can you have the seat of awareness, catch yourself, whatever that takes, maybe it's a clap of the hand, maybe it says, hey, whatever it is, catch yourself and now replace it with the thought that you would prefer to have. So instead of me looking through angry eyes, I wanted to see everything with love and joy. And it was just conscious thought. It's not that the negativity doesn't happen. I don't need to sit there and judge it. Oh, I'm so negative. This is horrible. All I have to do is cancel that thought and replace it. So
I love that. And then being in place, like you mentioned, not in a place of judgment, because a lot of times then we feel that we should do better. We should do, you know, why did I do that? That wasn't good enough. To be in a place of observation and being in the moment rather than thinking that I have to achieve this or achieve that, but to being in that space and observing and breathing and just connecting with the now instead of being elsewhere.
Yeah, because the heart surrenders to the moment, whereas the mind judges and holds back. So if we're all up here in our head, if we can come back here to the heart, and that's why in our short little movement, I just came back to the heart. This is a practice that I do on a regular basis. And just bringing the hands to the heart, thumbs to the heart, whatever, this helps with brain-heart coherence. So just know that the heart is willing to surrender to the moment right here, right now, whereas your mind, it's going to judge and it's going to hold you back. So again, it's working without going too deep in the neuroscience, this brain-heart coherence as well.
So I'd like to now get back to the big three. Yeah, and I know we talked a lot about it already, but if you can, so you have the mind, you have, you know, what I mean, your mindfulness, your thoughts, you have your movement, you know, your exercise. And then also you have what you're eating. So, and then we touched upon rituals. You mentioned a few things, you know, in regards to rituals, in regards to your juicer, you know, in the morning to kind of have a juicer of that. Are there some kind of other examples that you can give, you know, for the big three that people can take home and utilize and to really solidify these good practices?
Yeah, of course. So again, rituals, I think, as we mentioned, morning and evening are so, so powerful. I can do a couple things. And the evening, one of the rituals that I do that can be very helpful for this, again, the study of yourself. You know, I can't think of anything more important to study than yourself. And so this is a practice that is called the gift. And so when I go to bed at night, I do a contemplation, a reflection on my day. And so I look at throughout the day, and we can do this together if you're here and I can take you through it. It can be a very meditative thing. But if you just close your eyes for a moment and just take a nice big inhale and just an easy exhale. And I'd like you to take a moment to notice all the gifts you've received in the last 24 hours. And the gifts, the gift is not how big or how small, but I just want you to go through the day and notice the gifts you receive. So maybe in the morning, someone made a cup of coffee for you. Maybe someone walked the dog. Maybe someone made the bed. Maybe someone sent you a gift. You received it in the mail. No gift is too big or too small. So what are all the gifts that you've received within the day? Where someone helped you, even if they're being paid and they helped you, you went to lunch, someone took your order, someone cooked the food, someone gave you the food, someone cleaned the dishes. These are all gifts you received. Someone picked up your trash. These are all gifts. Even if someone's getting paid, these are all gifts you've received in the day. So take a moment and notice all the beautiful gifts you've received in the day. Again, some could be physical, some could be kind words, some could be someone teaching you something. You could be watching a summit and you learn something. This is a gift. Someone could have helped you heal. And these are all gifts over the last 24 hours that you received. And now take a few deep breaths, just allowing yourself to center around all the beautiful gifts that you've received. And now I'd like you to consider and contemplate all the gifts that you gave in the day. So maybe you woke up in the morning and you were the one that made the bed. Or maybe you woke up in the morning and you fed the dog or the cat. Maybe you were the one that took someone out to dinner. Maybe you were the one that provided information or education or healing or help. And as you go through the day, realize all the gifts that you gave on this day. And again, even if you're paid for those gifts, they're still gifts that you're giving to the world. And no gift is too big or too small, but notice all the gifts that you've given in a day. And now take a few deep breaths. Allow yourself to just bask in all the gifts that you gave and all the gifts that you received. And now the third part of this meditation is the most challenging for most people. Because in this part, you're going to go through the last 24 hours and you're going to notice any time or any place that maybe you were a hindrance or maybe you caused a problem or maybe you were unkind. Even if you didn't mean to be, most of us are very kind and considerate people. But throughout the day, maybe there were times in the day where you were maybe unconscious of what you were doing, or you just weren't present in what you were doing, and it caused harm or caused discomfort, or it was just not very thoughtful. So maybe you were going to the grocery store and you have a Trader Joe's near me, the parking lot's always crowded. And maybe there was a great parking spot and someone was walking to their car, so you stopped. And you saw, I will wait here while they get in the car. Well, they had a stroller and they had to get the baby in. And while you were waiting, a long line of cars were all backed up behind you. And so you caused this problem for all the people waiting while you blocked the traffic to get the gray parking spot. You didn't mean to, you didn't know, but yet you caused this discomfort for others. So there's nothing too big or too small. Maybe the dog was on the bed sleeping and you scattered the dog off. You kind of pushed the dog off. Maybe you caused this problem for the dog. So again, it's not that you intentionally were trying to cause a problem, but just unconsciously you did. And this practice of self-awareness, when we reflect through our day, allows us to wake up the next day and maybe be a little more aware, a little more conscious before we fly off the handle or before we forget to say thank you. And we become a happier, healthier, more compassionate person in the world. And then gently open your eyes. So this is a beautiful, beautiful practice that allows us each day to reset ourselves and just notice that every single day that we're receiving gifts, we're giving gifts out into the world. There's that reciprocity, but there's also a time where we may be causing a hindrance or a problem unintentionally, but it still happens. And so if we go through this process, it allows us for the next day to maybe be more aware, more awake throughout the day and catch ourselves when we do this. And I know this practice has certainly helped me in so, so many ways to go through my days with a little more ease, with a little more joy in my heart, and a little more love in my heart.
Love that. I love that. Well, Stacy, it is always such a pleasure. It's always such a joy. And you bring so much exuberance and love and to the world through everything that you do. So where's the best place for them to find you? Yeah, because you offer so many courses and trainings and for people that want to pursue this.
Yeah. Well, the best place to reach me is probably via my email, STACY, Stacy at Yoga Nama Stacy. That's my business name, Y-O-G-A Yoga. And then like the word Namaste, NAMASTACY.com. You can also find me on the social media outlets on Instagram, Yoga_NamaStacy, on Facebook, on Twitter. I'm on all those, not as much on Twitter, mostly on Instagram is the primary one, but I also use Facebook. And then of course at my website, and I have several yoga teacher trainings coming up. I also offer online classes. I have all kinds of things always coming up, and I would love to connect and even, you know, just answer questions. If you have questions, just say, hey, you saw me on Michael's show on regenerative medicine on this beautiful summit, and ask me whatever you want. I'm happy to help you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Stacy.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.